Yeah, man, killers can give no peace. In a supposedly landmark development, America's Secretary of State John Kerry and his Saudi counterpart announced in the last week of August a new plan having a fair and sensible approach about restarting negotiations in Yemen, a country facing worst humanitarian crisis because of the indiscriminate bombing by the so-called Saudi-led coalition forces using American-sold bombs and aircrafts. Ironic though it sounds, Saudi Arabia, a country which has been declared responsible by the United Nations for the majority of civilian deaths caused by its umpteen airstrikes, is still to play a central part in facilitating this process. Salman Rafi Sheikh, a researcher and an analyst of international relations and Pakistan's foreign and domestic affairs, has more on this issue. Stay with us for more of Salman Rafi Sheikh's article. The recently published report of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees stated that the cases monitored by the UNHCR office indicate that airstrikes were the single largest cause of casualties in Yemen. The statement further added, the prolonged duration of the conflict has strongly highlighted the disastrous risk of a systematic collapse in Yemen. The findings reported in the United Nations report and the fact that Saudi Arabia is to broker peace indicate not only how non-serious a plan this really is, but also that the United States, the self-proclaimed champion of democracy, has no regards for human rights violations caused by its ally Saudi Arabia. The spuriousness of this new plan can be gauged from the fact that whilst the chief strikers, Saudi Arabia and its certain allies, were properly consulted and taken into confidence with regards to the new plan that inevitably requires the Ansarullah movement and the revolutionaries of Yemen to surrender, they were not involved, nor were they invited to discuss their country's future. Even the so-called internationally recognized government, which is sitting in exile in Saudi Arabia, was not represented in the talks that took place amongst the US, Saudi Arabia, Britain, and other Persian Gulf allies, leaving the space wide open for the Saudi-led coalition to design their own imperialistic designs. As such, as against the Yemeni protests against Saudi-led attacks, and instead of putting pressure on Saudi Arabia to prevent it from targeting the civilian population of Yemen, America's Secretary of State John Kerry called on Yemen's Ansarullah movement to stop shelling Saudi Arabia and to pull back from Sana'a and transfer their weaponry to a third party in exchange for their being included in the so-called unity government. Although the new plan does meet the revolutionaries' demand for a national unity government, de-weaponization and the so-called third party are the factors that will not only create ambiguity, but also seem to be pointless at best. Unsurprisingly, when the new plan was revealed, Yemen's Ansarullah movement rejected the plan and refused to hand over their ballistic missiles, which John Kerry said, erroneously, that they were threatening Saudi Arabia and the United States. However, whilst the plan has been rejected in part by the Yemeni revolutionaries, the Ansarullah movement, within this plan are hidden Saudi Arabia's tacit acknowledgement of failure to reverse Ansarullah's position of strength and to take control of key areas of Yemen. The primary reason for John Kerry's visit to Saudi Arabia is that Saudi authorities are no longer in a position to continue the war in Yemen, but are instead resorting to various political and diplomatic means in order to at least achieve some of their goal in this fruitless war on which it has already spent billions of dollars. The formation of a quadrilateral committee consisting of foreign ministers of the United States, Britain, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, means failure of all military and political measures taken by the so-called Saudi-led coalition in Yemen in the past 18 months. And also, a few months of political negotiations in Kuwait got nowhere. During about 99 days of talks in Kuwait, the United Nations Special Envoy for Yemen, Ismail Ould Sheikh Ahmed, tried his best to impose Saudi Arabia's will on the Yemeni people, the most important of which was established of a new government led by the country's resigned and fugitive president Abdurrabba Mansour Hadi. Also, withdrawal of Ansar forces and those affiliated with the People's National Congress, which is led by Yemen's former president Ali Abdullah Saleh, from their positions, and that the final agreement should be signed in Saudi Arabia. Yemenis did not give in to these humiliating conditions, as a result of which negotiations in Kuwait were wrapped up inconclusively. However, now that John Kerry has to somehow modify many of his demands in the plan because Yemeni forces have already penetrated deep into Saudi Arabia's southern Najran region, firing rockets at the southern cordon of Saudi Arabia and can target their missiles at the installations of Saudi Arabia's state-run oil company Aramco, a rocket fired from Yemen hit a Saudi electricity company power station in Najran in southern Saudi Arabia on Friday, spilling diesel from a punctured tank into acrid black lakes coating the surrounding streets. Whilst this explains why Saudi Arabia and its regional and extra-regional allies have finally come round to the idea of a national unity government in Yemen, there is still a lot of ambiguity surrounding the plan. For instance, it is not yet clear as to what Saudi Arabia and the United States think of the unity government in Yemen. The Ansar Allah forces are working towards the establishment of a unity government to use it as a means to take Yemen out of Saudi Arabia's control. On the contrary, this government appears to Saudi Arabia yet another opportunity to extend its political influence in the region. With such varying perceptions and divergent interests involved, the biggest challenge for John Kerry is to reconcile these two conflicting positions. The United States, whilst it has reduced its direct involvement in the Yemeni conflict, but continues to sell weaponry to Saudi Arabia, it has also pushed Saudi Arabia to accept some of the demands of the fighting forces due to increasing criticism of the Obama administration for military cooperation with the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen. That is to say, within the US there is ample realization that the war of atrocities in Yemen that has so far cost $14 billion in damage and economic losses is actually being fought against civilians rather than any potential or actual terrorist network. With reports emerging regarding total absence of Saudi airstrikes against Al-Qaeda or Daesh terrorists in Yemen, the war has actually taken an imperialist turn against the Yemenis, forcing even the United Nations official to call for an open investigation into civilian deaths in Yemen. With Yemenis being asked to accept a new plan, which is nothing but a virtual invitation to give in to Saudi Arabia's imperialistic whims, and with attacks within Saudi Arabia increasing, what we can expect to see happening in the near future is Saudi Arabia having to concede more concessions, which the House of Saud is traditionally disinclined to give, and leave the space well open for the Yemenis themselves to decide what their future is going to be. For as long as the killers continue to dictate terms of peace, true peace would remain just an illusion. As such, were the Saudis to remain stubborn about extending their occupation of Yemen, this would only lead to yet another crisis in the region, a fully-fledged civil war within Saudi Arabia, signs of which are quite visible even today.